you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books. 1 hour to go. The big show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Hopefully you're doing what you always do, and that is keep it locked on 97.5 all day, all night. Stick with the best sports takes in town. With that being said, if you guys are traveling, ESPN975.com, where you can download the app, and then you can take us anywhere, everywhere. We get tweets and texts every day from people listening across the country, which is always great to hear. And as well as that, if you missed any of the show today, including the interview with Mario Elie, go to ESPN975.com. You click on the show tab at the top of the page where it says Usual Suspects, and you can click on and catch up on all of the hours that you missed. With that being said, because we do appreciate and love our suspects, you know that the Listener Appreciation Party is coming up right around the corner. It is August the 15th. We are giving away tickets, and they're giving us more tickets to give away than most because of the fact that you guys have really made them in high demand during our show. So you're going to have a chance to win two tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party this hour. Along with it, if you win, you get a Usual Suspects t-shirt, which people are really dying to get their hands on. We haven't even seen them ourselves yet, but we're going to see them at the party. So I'm going to let Nick pick the time and then the caller number, because we want to make it fair for the people listening on the app, the stream, as well as callers that are listening over the air. So we've been giving you a heads up and a head start. So Nicholas, time and caller.
So let's do caller number 25 at 325. Caller number 25 at 325. 713-780-3776. You call in, you're number 25, you get to be a part of the party.
There you have it. And keep in mind, you got to be 21 and older to get in. Invitation only. And you will have chances to win listening to the show all week. So keep it tuned in right here. And we do want to give a shout-out and props to, obviously, get David Gao, Gao Media, and all the folks at ESPN 97.5 putting on this big party, as well as SportsMap. But also keep in mind the people that are going to be providing the food, like Big City Wings and Kobo's Barbecue. And, of course, the beverages provided by John Granato's favorite, Coors Light. And Nick's Place, who's always been a proud sponsor and participant when we do anything regarding the listeners.
Love that spot. Nick's Place is legit, because that's like an Italian sports bar that actually has really good food.
But not only that, is Nick's Place keeps it real because they have all of the packages. Anything you want, they'll put it on for you.
Yeah,
they're the home of whatever football team you want to watch, every college team, pro team, and the food is outstanding.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. The pizza, everything on that menu is good. It's fantastic. So there's going to be some good food at the Listener Appreciation Party. So if you get to go, you'll get to enjoy.
No doubt. Texans off today.
Yes.
Tomorrow, preseason game at God's Gift to Football, Lambeau Field, when they take on the Packers. A.J. McCarron suffers a thumb injury on the right hand. We heard it was injured yesterday. Didn't know exactly the extent. Now they're saying he may miss all of preseason. Aaron, you guys on the Blitz last night were talking about it, and I happened to be in the car, and I texted Fred because they were trying to think of who do you call to bring in, to fill in, to take the rep so Deshaun doesn't have to and gets killed, and Joe Webb, if he gets hurt, goes down. I said Brandon Whedon's got to be out there doing absolutely nothing that wouldn't be as more important as collecting a check and getting back in the NFL. He might be a guy they need to call.
I don't necessarily hate Brandon Whedon. I'm not the biggest fan, but he's definitely a serviceable guy for that position. I mean, look, we know how important the backup quarterback position can be. The Eagles are a perfect example of that. So, yeah, I mean, considering the playing style of Deshaun Watson and what they expect from him. Yeah, it's necessary.
And on short notice, you need someone that knows the system, and Fred and AJ were breaking this down in detail. The other guy that they brought up was TJ Yates. Is he in?
No.
They were saying he's in the building or he's doing something to them. What is he doing?
Isn't
with
he on the depth chart? An offensive assistant.
So, okay. So he knows the system because he's an offensive assistant. At least last year, Brandon Whedon knew most of the plays where you could figure out where to hand off the ball and short passes and things so that you could make sure that Deshaun doesn't get hurt. Because you got to believe McCarron's going to be your number two. He just has to get healthy because he's got the NFL experience. He's younger. And the thing that I've always been against with the Texans is your backup should be as athletic and be able to run the same system as your starter. Brandon Whedon ain't no Deshaun Watson in more ways than one, but he is not agile and he is not mobile.
I just concern. Yeah, exactly. That's what my concern is, how seamless of a transition, even though he might know the playbook. I mean, how is the, you know, the receiving core and everybody else going to react to the way he runs the offense? And I think it's going to, and I think in the event that you do, God forbid, have to play Brandon Whedon for whatever the reason, Bill O'Brien's going to be a lot more in control in terms of what he does, play calling and stuff like that. So it's going to be a very controlled situation if Brandon Whedon is the quarterback, I feel like. And I don't know if he's going to thrive well with that situation with Bill O'Brien kind of being the, you know, let's be honest, a bit of a control freak.
At you least think?
So, yeah, I just don't know. There are some serviceable guys, like who would be guys that you would consider? Let's see here. Some of the backup names from last year would be what? Tyrod Taylor,
Bridgewater. What's Johnson, the kid they brought in last year that they thought was going to be, you know, and he was on the roster for a little bit, that I think could be a guy. He turned down the Ravens when RG3 went down because he wanted a better opportunity.
Yeah, Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson. That would be an opportunity, right? He would be able to run the system the same way. He could come in, and you know, if he looks good, there's a chance he could stick. I mean, they like Webb, but they like Webb more because he still plays special teams, even if he's a third string quarterback, and he brings a lot different opportunities. Yeah, for the team. But I could see them giving a guy like Josh Johnson a chance at this as well.
Yeah,
and maybe he impressed. Again, it's everything you put on tape is a resume. Lance will tell you that. And if he gets to play the preseason for the Texans and he impresses a team, he could land a spot that gets him a job for the year.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that situation. Hopefully Deshaun Watson plays all 16 games and kicks some ass.
Absolutely. But, and by the way, if I'm driving my daughter to work, if I'm listening to The Bench so that I start my day the right way, John Granato, don't pee in my Cheerios. Don't tick me off and tell me that.
What'd he say?
He came in and said, first he said that, then Lance agreed with him, that they think the Texans have a better roster than the Packers. Stop it. Then Granato, the quarterback whisperer, goes to say that Aaron Rodgers is short arm and everything. And in most of the throws he's doing, he's not even, his footwork are wrong or anything like that. He's on the decline. This team's going nowhere. Yes. They don't impress me. I'm like, I'm going to pull over. I told Lance. Lance was laughing at me because he was bringing it back up. I was like, I was going to pull over and text all y'all going, you guys better shut the hell up because I'm trying to start my day the right way. And this is annoying the hell out of me.
He probably kept pushing it. He probably said everything short of Aaron Rodgers sucks on the air.
Yeah. I mean, when I look up quarterback whisper in the dictionary, do I see Bill O'Brien's picture and John Granato? No. No, I don't need to hear all that. Short arming, he's got the strongest arm in the league. Stop it. Next to Patrick Mahomes, maybe. But
that's a guy I'm looking forward to.
That pissed me off this morning.
I can imagine. But yeah, I mean, we're Texans proud here, sir.
Did anybody watch Hard Knocks last night?
I did not.
I've been a fan of it in the past. We used to do the thing where we reviewed it every week here.
I was upset I missed it.
I dropped my HBO after Hard Knocks. And so I was going to pick it back up, and I didn't. But then basically everything I read said that you didn't miss anything with John Gruden and the Raiders. They said that basically the only thing you missed was the opening monologue, much like, remember when Bill O'Brien did it, and he went to that real dramatic boardroom thing with the cuss words and all that other stuff. Well, evidently, Gruden did the same thing. We dropped the cuss bombs, but here's the audio last night from John Gruden at the addressing the team in one of the first practices as Hard Knocks got started last night on HBO, and he tried to tell these guys it's not college anymore.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies, all right? Everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl. Or the Blue Bonnet Bowl, we're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell? Okay? I mean that now. So get into that.
Okay.
It's kind of fun to hear him talk, though.
Now, people said they were ready to run through a wall when they heard that. And then obviously, we've taken out the cuss words. But at the same time, if there's one thing you can say about John Gruden, he is a professional motivator.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have some incentive in that team, no doubt. I don't see him, like, the energy is not going to lack with him at the helm, I would imagine.
But from the quarterback university or whatever they called that when he did the quarterback stuff to when he just being on Monday Night Football, people tuned in even if it was a crappy game because they loved his energy and his fire.
That's
and
why I was so shocked when he took that deal, man. Like, you're in the booth making money. An AC.
You think that money's as good as $10 million a year for 10 years?
I don't think it's that far. I think we've had that debate before. How far is he away from Gruden?
I would bet at the top of his game, salary-wise, on Monday Night Football, he was around 5.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So he gets, what, a multi-year contract, that's so $10 million a year?
He doubles that money for 10 years and gets $10 million a year, $100 million deal.
According to an SB Nation article, you're not too far off. The reports were, at the time when he left, he was making 6.5 a year.
Okay.
To do Monday Night Football in the QBU.
So you're making 4.5, but you have to weigh this out. 3.5 more, and you're going through a lot more stress as a head coach for a football team.
But you get a lot more power. You're in the game that you love. I mean, everybody could talk about it.
And you're guaranteed that full paycheck. If ESPN decides last minute, Peyton Manning says he wants to do it, they go, oh, John, you know, you're a has-been now. We'd rather have Peyton Manning in this booth.
Now, if you signed a contract, you still get the money.
Yeah, he's got a contract. They're not gonna. He's still gonna get.
But
paid.
It wasn't 10 years. I'm
exactly
willing to bet.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Thing. That's true. But that was because the Raiders owner just had this absolute love affair for Gruden. I mean, I wasn't necessarily a big hater of Jack Del Rio. Honestly, I really wasn't.
Jack Del Rio didn't deserve to lose his job. Jack Del Rio was the football version of Mike D'Antoni. He did a whole hell of a lot of good for that franchise and had him winning.
I can't agree more.
And then all of a sudden, he got crapped on because someone had a bigger, better idea. That's pretty similar to what they're dealing with right now down on Polk Street with the Rockets.
And that's not to say that I think Gruden's a terrible coach or anything like that. I like that team. It's going to be interesting. Again, we bring back the whole hard-nosed mentality.
He's old school.
It's gonna be interesting to see how guys like Antonio Brown and some of the younger guys are gonna react to a guy like that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, the trend
the wrong way.
It's a different world out there with these athletes, and he has to be careful. So
good point.
But maybe he's just doing it for the show.
No, that's who he is. I mean, when you look at him on the sidelines and he gets the Chucky face.
Or he's embellishing a bit,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, he's out there saying, by the way, for all that they say, oh, he and Carr are good now. He's out there praising Nathan Peterman and what he's seen during camp. Stop it. Just stop it, John.
Yeah, I love those indirect messages from head coaches.
Yeah, he's over the top with all of his Bill O'Brien's isms on players. He only talks about the guys that are there and okay. All right, we're only going to talk about you if you want to be talked about. So, therefore, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more of The Final Hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Again, if you got the clue... In the final hour, we are going to be giving away listener appreciation tickets. We won't give you the exact time because we already did that, but I would say that it's a 6 cents in terms of minutes before we might give them away. Just giving you a clue. It's Nick, it's Joel, it's Aaron, as Aaron Raybould has graciously blessed us with his presence to fill in while Nicholas fills in for Barry while Barry's driving to Arkansas to do some comedy. Art Briles in the news. Art Briles, who we all know was a complete cluster at Baylor, and then tried to get a couple of pro jobs, and every time he thought he was going to get one, the public found out about it and made sure he didn't. So now, remarkably, he's got a job coaching high school football outside of Dallas, I believe.
Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Mount Vernon High School. He's the head coach there, and basically a reporter, which when you hear the question, you would think it was like an indirect jab at Art, but she kind of took a step back after she got some criticism on Twitter. But let's take a listen to the audio. It was a pretty abrasive question, I would describe it as. But okay. let's take a listen.
Support y'all are the Tigers. Any talk about changing it to the scapegoats?
Oh, none whatsoever. We're Tigers. We're Mount Vernon Tigers. Thank you.
Now, you would think.
Now, he handled that well because he could have gone off.
But you know why I think he handled it so well? He was trying to leave anyway, that his mind was almost somewhere else when the question was that. I don't know if he like interpreted it as like this media member trying to like go at him. Like, I don't know. Like, when you see the way he walked away, like he was already walking out. She kind of snuck in that last question, but she got some heat from a guy named.
Who was she, by the way? Who was she representing?
KWTX, which is in Central Texas, a TV station. Her name is Risa Shaw.
Okay.
Risa Shaw. So after that video was tweeted, Jason Kersey, Blue Check, said, "This is utterly shameful, and whoever asked that question deserves to be dragged on Twitter for it." And then Risa responds and says, "No bad intent. Many in Waco feel Browse was a scapegoat. Media were not told to ask questions about BU sex scandal, the Baylor sex scandal, right, and only Mount Vernon football related questions. So using the mascot was simply a quote unquote sporty way of opening the door for Browse to respond to the theory of being a scapegoat," which I think she pulled back there when she tweeted. Like, I think that wasn't her
whether
real intention.
That was her full intentions or not. That's a hell of a good way to spin it.
That was a fantastic way.
That reacting on your feet, spinning out of it that way, that's pretty impressive.
One person said, "The first two questions from this reporter didn't exactly signal an end of press conference slam. Some media members theorized it was actually a way to indicate that Browse was the scapegoat at Baylor," which a lot of people would disagree with.
I think a lot of people, especially around here, would disagree with.
Yeah. I mean, they tried, I felt like, you know, I'm a coug, but I felt like they tried to kind of do what they could to kind of revive his career and kind of protect his name.
Here's my thing, okay? Because we know Fred is a coug and you're a coug.
And Jong, who used to be here, was pretty vocal about that situation too.
And they all said, look, it's one thing when you're talking about art, but the fact that it was a Kendall Browse was hired by U of H all of this. And that's why Jong and Fred were kind of turned off by the football program, because they were like, no, this shouldn't be happening, and he shouldn't get a pass. And the same way that Art Browse shouldn't be coaching kids anymore, they should be coming down at the U of H too. So, I mean, this is a situation that's not going away, and it shouldn't. And he shouldn't feel like he's a scapegoat, because it's the same way when Mario was here in the break, we were talking about like Louisville and Rick Pitino, and Rick Pitino was the only guy that really got drilled for sanctions. But at the end of the day, Rick Pitino was everything at Louisville, and so he was getting the biggest check because basketball was the biggest deal. And anything under his watch, you can't tell me that one of your coaches was arranging for strippers and hookers to dance and hook and sleep with your players, and you didn't know about it.
Yeah, that's absolute BS. His name obviously had pull at the college basketball level. And that's why people, I mean, let's be honest, when he left, you kind of knew he was going to get a job. Now that, you know, trends are different. Like, if it's that big of a scandal, you might not get another gig. But that guy had such a big name to him. And you talk about the money that he brought too, like through like shoe deals or whatever.
Pitino was solely responsible for a $10 million a year Adidas deal at Louisville. There was a reason why he was getting three quarters of that money. Because without him, their football program, with Bobby Petrino or not, and anything else that they had to offer, wasn't bringing anywhere close attention, media-wise or otherwise. In the case of Briles, it's the same thing. You may not have personally made the deal and orchestrated the act, but at the end of the day, whether you knew before that the money was going there and or the resources, or you found out like so many coaches do that, hey, we got a phone call and we got this going on. Most coaches are hoping that it just will go away by itself. And if they just sweep it under the rug and they kind of pretend like they don't know about it, it'll go away without being found out by the media. And more times than not, that's when they find out just how guilty they can be.
Ideally, that's a situation that you want if you're on the bad end of that. So you want to like not address the media as much as possible. When the media, you know, put in media requests to do interviews, you don't necessarily take all of them. You address the media. You don't necessarily take questions. Those are the type of techniques that they do to kind of avoid that and hope everything gets swept under the rug. Unfortunately, for some situations, it doesn't go away that easily. And so, for Art Browse, I think he's one of the guys that it just kind of followed around. Maybe, you know, rightfully so.
But. And my point about you kind of ignore it or you kind of deflect is like right now Channel 2 won't let go of this whole thing. There's a scandal with the women's soccer program at the University of Houston and some like punishment practices that didn't go well. And they uncovered documents, emails that made everybody aware of the fact, and they put it on the news, that the president at U of H knew of everything going on and called the associate athletic director and said, handle this, because she didn't want to be, you know, have anything on her hands. And now that it's come out and they've uncovered the emails, that she knew, whether she handled it personally or not, she knew this had happened. That's egg on her face. That's where now she's got to answer questions, because she didn't want to address it personally when she was informed that it was going on.
It was a rigorous workout, and now a lot of these players were like getting diagnosed with this.
They could have died.
Could not even pronounce. Yeah, it was serious. It was kind of like the situations with the cheerleaders. Remember that coach that was forcing the cheerleaders to do the splits? And the girl was like literally crying, please stop, stop. And they're like, nope, you're doing the splits.
Vaguely, I remember that.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where a coach may have gone too far. I don't have all the details with the latest UH scandal. It's not as big as the Art Briles situation, but yeah, it's one of those situations where you got to be you as a coach now. If you're going to be hard nosed, if you're going to have hard workouts, if you're going to really, 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 you know, go through these rigorous training plans, you got to be careful how you approach them, because if they get hurt, it happened under your watch and you're going
to
get a blame.
But it goes back to what I was saying, which is in all three instances, whether you were directly involved in the details or not, at some point you were made aware of it and you could have jumped in and stopped it. But instead you were hoping it would never be found out about or it would go away, and you got caught.
Yeah. And that'd be President Renu Couture.
I mean,
I would hope. Because I've actually interviewed her when I was at the University of Houston. She could not have been nicer. I would hope that something like this, if it was brought to light and brought to her desk, that she would address it accordingly. I would think that would be the case, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, you got to be careful with this situation. Some of these kids were getting punished because two of them got accused for like stealing food from the football team. So you got to. So that's another thing. It's one thing to like, okay, you're trying to punish them, go through this rigorous training process because you want them to be better. No, you're making them. You're putting all this wear and tear on their bodies because they made a mistake. Now they should be punished. I just don't know if like a.
But
workout.
The other thing that was a bigger issue too was it was one or two individuals on the team, but yet they punished the entire team,
yeah.
And then a lot of them faced a lot of health issues because of what they were forced to do. So
yeah,
it's when you've taken it too far. And I think Tillman got involved and said he wants to get to the bottom of this,
yeah,
because he's such a big donor and booster to the university. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. So. We'll continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go on the show, so if you still want to join us, there's time. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. And we'll be having a whole lot more discussions like the one we just had. So if you want to partake, get on in here. The text line is open even. So give us a shout. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I made the switch about 3 years ago. I just re-upped with them. And why wouldn't I? Because of the fact that in the last 3 years, I've saved thousands of dollars over the amount I was paying with my previous energy provider. And it's because they take the time to listen. They're locally owned and operated, and their sole focus is to make sure that you are satisfied with your energy provider. That means they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them. They're going to try and figure out if it's for your business or your family. Do you use energy a lot on weekends, weeknights? All the different questions that they need answers to so they can pinpoint the best rate and the best deal possible. You can check them out at infuseenergy.com, but better yet, give them a call. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, if you call, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. And they're going to walk you through all the different steps and ask you as many questions as they can so they can get the best plan possible. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit to get your first month off to the right start, and they'll take you from there. Simply put, they are affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and they're never going to try and screw you over. They're going to be 100% honest, even if it means telling you there's competition out there that can beat their prices. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, they're sure to let you know. Check them out and let them know that Joel Blank sent you. Infuse energy into your life. And we're going to be back in just 60 seconds, so don't go anywhere. Back with more sports in just a minute right here on ESPN 97.5.
Y'all got a pen, we all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From...
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, so we got a winner, our latest and greatest for the listener appreciation party. So you'll have to listen tomorrow for your chance to win. But we're not done giving you opportunities to win things. Therefore, we always give back to the suspects. And with a half hour to go on the show, now would be the right time to give away something else. Right, Nicholas?
That's right. Texas legend Lyle Lovett and his large band. Texas legend Lyle Lovett and his large band will be at Smart Financial August 14th. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and someone else there. So here's an opportunity to get two free tickets to Lyle Lovett and his large band at Smart Financial August 14th. 713-780-3776. Caller number 20 will get those two tickets. So give it a call. Give us a call right now, 713-780-3776. Two tickets to the Texas legend Lyle Lovett and his large band at Smart Financial on August 14th.
Is there any man out there that would claim to have a small band? I mean, is that like the thing? Like you got to be out there going, you know, I have a large band. How are you? Nice to meet you. Hi there. All right. Want to have a drink? I've got a large band.
That's when I saw that and his large band. I was like, that's...
I mean, you emphasized it pretty good twice.
Well, I mean, that's the name of it, you know. Got to put respect on his name, dude.
If you're looking for the results that I believe that you're after, does any man out there go, hey, I'm a pretty good guy, but I've got a small band? That's not gonna tickle a woman's fancy.
I don't think so.
Right?
I don't think so. I would agree with that. I would agree with that. So it looks like...
Want to blow my saxophone?
No, okay. I do not. I do not,
I'm not,
sir.
You. I'm saying if you're talking to a female after you mentioned your small band.
So you lead, is there some sort of record with RBIs in a game for the Astros?
Yeah.
He's now tied the franchise record with 8 in one game.
With okay. Who? With who, Aaron? With who? It was some...
Let's see.
Back in 2007.
Yes, it was like a random. And I'm like, so a random has the record for most RBIs in a game for the Astros with 8? I was like, you got to be kidding me. So at least Yuli's tied the record now. Yuli has 8 RBIs on the day. The gapper earlier with the bases loaded, there was no error. So therefore, he got credit for all of those. He'll have, as Aaron pointed out astutely, if he doesn't sit down for a replacement, he will have the opportunity to have at least one more at bat to break that record. Did we find who it was?
I'm looking for it right now, man. But Yuli, dude, that again, going back to the consistency, man, that guy's just... He's legit.
Well, the same way he left off in July, he picked up in August. Again, 2 home runs last night, another home run today, 8 RBIs. When you're talking about a guy, I mentioned it, since the end of June, he leads the major leagues with 44 RBIs. That's including Mike Trout and Cody Bellinger and Yelich and all these different guys. He has been striping the baseball, and he continues to do that for this team. And I said, with all the attention and obviously much deserved attention that Jeff Luhnow and his staff made with the pitching staff and the additions that they made and the upgrades, and everybody focused on that, especially after the no-hitter this weekend, and everybody wanted to see Greinke. The one thing that's been not just consistent but outstanding, the offense just gets better and better. And I said, looking at the lineup, in a game like today where you're sitting George Springer, you're resting some guys, you've got Maldonado in the lineup and Mariznick in the lineup and Diaz in the lineup, and you're putting up 11 runs.
Be a hometown kid, J.R. Tolles, who he's tied that record with.
I was sitting here.
Are you serious? J.R. Tolles.
I always want to call him J.R. Knowles, too.
Because 8 RBIs Beyonce, in a game. Who would have thought that?
I would have never guessed that. There's no way.
Seriously. I mean, even I'm going back like randoms on the list. Like Kyle Tucker's brother for a year was pretty decent and you know, might have got, you know, one game where he got hot. He had some pop anyway that I could see that. But no, not Knowles.
And he hasn't been in the league for like 5 years too, so I would have never known.
That's like, oh boy.
That was according to the graphic they put up. That was in 2007. He had 12 RBIs that whole season.
So wow. He had 8 in a game, 12 in the year.
He played 14 games.
Good Lord. Talk about finding lightning in the bottle for one time and one time only.
That's 187 ridiculous. Batting average, 11 home runs over his entire career.
What's Tucker's brother's name? That they ended up trading him to like the Braves, and then he was at one point a top Astros prospect, and then
Preston Tucker,
yeah, and that's, they thought it was awesome that the brothers were both in the system. That's why they keep drafting Correa's brother, too. They're hoping that they find the second coming of Carlos Correa. And sometimes genetics doesn't work.
How often does that happen? Usually one brother is significantly better than the other. Isn't that how it works?
Like
the Lopez brothers, who's better in the NBA?
Well, they're pretty... I would say
they're equivalent.
Brooks a better shooter. Robin's a better rebounder and defender. But I mean, when you look at it overall, I mean, I'll tell you what. We didn't get to this the other day. If anybody bothered to watch the NFL Hall of Fame induction speeches, you would find out that you're right. Like Champ Bailey had brothers that were pretty good, but they weren't Champ Bailey. And pretty much everybody that spoke, if they had a brother, played sports but just didn't play it as well. But when you look at it, the one thing that I just, it's absolutely mind-numbing. Every guy took three quarters of his speech to thank every single person from the time he came out of the womb until the time that he walked across that stage. And you know why that bothers me? One, because most of the time you used to get some pretty heart-jerking stories, some tear-jerking stories, some great stories of turning points in their life that got them to the point. But more so than that, what got me is, at the start of every guy's speech, the NFL put a graphic up with ESPN that said, for instance, Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey is going to thank and would like to thank the following people that have been big in his life and his career. And they put everybody's name on the screen. At that point, you don't have to mention anybody other than your family and your two coaches.
See, I would be that a-hole that would say, you know what? You guys know who you are. I'm thanking you right now. You know who you are. And then I would never mention their name. I'd be that guy.
And I would love that. As a viewer, I want to know Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez, all these guys. I want to know, like, what got you into the sport? Someone kept you on the straight and narrow. Someone saved you from a possible issue in your life that maybe would have been catastrophic. I want to hear all those things. I don't want you for 27 minutes to thank Bubba and Pee-wee down the street around the corner and JJ and my boy Marvin that got me through college when I was cheating on tests. I don't care about all that. I just want to know the stories.
Be a social media attention whore. Like, use it as an opportunity to, like, promote your Twitter. Look, I want to thank everybody, so it's in an image that I tweeted out. Give me a follow at the producer Nick. You know, use it. Do something fun about it. But I don't know.
Oh, they'd get destroyed for just saying that too.
Sure, but if you do it once, the first person's they're gonna let go, and then they're gonna put some rules in that say, from going forward, you can't do this. Look, I get some people, it's really important to like thank.
But it's on
everybody.
The screen. There's a graphic and a crawl, yeah. Like you just had a tornado warning.
Yeah.
Only in big letters, it's. Champ Bailey would like to thank his mom so-and-so, his dad so-and-so, his brothers, the guys he grew up with, like, bum, 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 his coaches, bum, 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 his best friends, bum, bum. That's on the screen, so don't talk about it.
They start naming their dogs.
People have the DVR and freeze and go, babe, look, there's my name. Okay, cool. Yay for you, painful for me. Tell us a story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you.
If you were that special, you were on the invite list to the ceremony.
Yeah, like Tony Gonzalez, Jeff Bezos. And Lauren Sanchez are sitting next to Matt Ryan in the crowd. And everybody's like, what the hell are they doing? And then he thanks them, but he doesn't tell the story why, which is Lauren Sanchez was essentially his nanny for his kids while he was off playing NFL seasons before he met his wife. So she stepped up to the plate. And then now that because she's with Bezos, he was with them. So that's the kind of thing we'd like to hear about instead of saying, Ray Ray and Sweet Pea, man, you did a hell of a job when we were kids on the playground.
Did you see the rumors that were false about Jeff Bezos buying this massive yacht?
No.
Apparently, like, he bought this, like...
Did that make him big yachty?
Oh.
I thought I'd have to ask.
It was like a 466-foot Flying Fox super yacht. That's apparently...
Say that fast.
Yeah, I know. And apparently, like...
I don't give a Flying Fox.
I didn't think he'd be able to, like, afford it considering that massive divorce, right?
Even still, both of them are going to be rich for, like, 150 lifetimes. It was, like, in the, what, hundreds of billions of dollars, the divorce settlement?
Yep.
It was ridiculous. He could afford,
afford a couple of those, probably.
He could have his own yachts landing. Okay, I threw another one.
$38 billion that he had to cut off and send to her.
He gave her $38 billion, so what does that leave him with his net worth?
Just like right over that, because
so it split down the middle.
Yeah, because
she
split
was pretty
right
big
down the middle.
Influence, and she had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, she married him before this whole thing took off.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, it was just a book, an online book website. That's crazy. She really got $38 million.
Yeah, they both billion,
a billion,
billion,
with a B.
billion. They're both worth $38 billion.
God. dude, that's like the kids, their kids.
You didn't
kids.
Think they could afford what? Six countries?
No, I forgot. No, I forgot how big Amazon is. I don't know why, the fact that she got 50%, and honestly, I don't blame her because
no, she was a key role in every bit of Amazon. They were like partners, so she deserves what she got.
Yeah. Plus, they were married for quite some time. So,
plus, she found out he was banging Lauren Sanchez. I mean, that's a problem. That's not going to fly.
Isn't that his best friend's wife?
I think that. Yeah, I think that was part of the deal too. Yeah. So there's a lot of shade going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was funny though. Interesting stuff.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to roll on. We only got one segment to go. The show has flown by.
Yeah,
if you missed Mario Ellie, he was on earlier. Check us out, podcastarena.com, where all of our shows have their podcasts. Otherwise, head to the website and ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. You can catch that interview, which was very good. We're going to take it till 4, then the Blitz takes you till 7. You just keep it right here, ESPN975.
Kayla's in the building.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Wayback Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Joel, Barry out doing comedy on the way to Little Rock, Arkansas. He will join us via the Comrex tomorrow. So, Aaron, we appreciate you, Aaron Rabel, filling in. Always a pleasure to have him on the show as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Snickers has said that they will offer up 1 million Snickers candy bars to all of America if the date of Halloween is changed. And I got to tell you guys, I don't disagree. Because the bottom line is, and this was always the case even when we were kids, when trick-or-treat and Halloween fall on a weekday, it's far more difficult for the parents to be at home and get you out, and especially when you're younger, and do all the things necessary so you can stay out late enough to get all your candy supply. So they're saying if the government will just make it the last Saturday of every October, instead of worried about the date, that Snickers will offer up 1 million candy bars. If that's where we're starting the bidding gang, I'm all for it.
I'll tell you what, if they offer 1 million Snickers ice cream bars, oh, I'm all over that.
Imagine that. They're going to put that in your freaking trick-or-treat bag, and then you're going to go collect candy. And at the end of the day, what's that going to be like?
But those Snickers ice cream bars, they go down hard. I actually like that way more than...
You want to isolate that, Aaron, please?
Do not isolate that, sir. I'm just saying I like the ice cream bar more.
I don't disagree with you, but if you're trick-or-treating and they're offering these bars as like ransom, it's going to be given during Halloween-type situations, you're not giving an ice cream bar away.
Yeah, but I'm... Right.
What, are you going to put a cooler on your front doorstep and saying, go, hey, while you're trick-or-treating, it's hot out there, get yourself a Snickers ice cream bar.
I know. But look, I am with you in the fact that, yeah, for parents, weeknights, I've been a part of that. I'm totally okay with that. And it would do wonders for their business, too. Not just their business, but a lot of other... I think it would benefit not just Snickers. I think it would benefit a lot of people. I think there'd be a lot more candy sold, which I don't know if you necessarily want that if you have kids. I mean, how much candy do you give Taylor? Because Taylor will probably do backflips if you give her enough candy.
She has the sweet tooth that her mother has, because even when I got engaged to Lisa and I was asking her dad and her brother, I took them golfing to ask her dad for permission to marry Lisa. And we're sitting there talking and he's like, son, the only thing I got to warn you about, if you can keep her away from chocolate... And I'm like, what? And he's like, yep, some people have vices with drugs and alcohol. My daughter loves sweets. And I'm like, oh, my God, he was right. And Taylor got it. Taylor got
chocolate specifically or just candy
and stuff. So the other night, I told you, we went to the Skeeters game. And we go to the Insperity Club. And as part of that, you get, there's a buffet. And the we didn't know this, but evidently everybody else did, that at 8:30 on a game night, they also give you an ice cream buffet. So we happened to be sitting right where the line, and so Taylor got in line. Taylor comes back with like a bowl of ice cream with sprinkles and cookies, and then grabs a thing of gummy bears and the works. And I'm looking at this, and Lisa's like, she's laughing because she thinks it's great. Taylor's like her and loves sweets. And I'm going, you do realize that she's not going to go to bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, no way. That night, 11:30 at night, Taylor is on, like, we're peeling her off the ceiling, jumping on our bed, watching TV. And I was like, you see?
You got to cap that stuff.
You got to cap that stuff. Fault.
You got to cap that stuff like at noon. Because even if you give it to them like at 4 or 5, it's like,
they're just all over the place. She uses it like a bribe. Like, if Lisa says, I need you to go to this after school or something like that, she's like, do I get cake, mommy? Or smart. Can we go to talk? Yeah, she's extremely smart.
So she's
right
now. She's a negotiating queen right now.
Yes, yes, she's got that down. So yeah, I mean, I can see that. But at the same time, like I told you guys, when we were trick or treating as kids in Milwaukee, there was a restaurant chain called George Webb's, and George Webb's was also known for the fact that if the Brewers ever won, I think it was 13 games in a row or more, they gave away free hamburgers to everybody. But the one thing that we knew that not everybody knew was, and on Halloween night, you finished trick-or-treating by going to George Webb's and you got free burgers and fries. And so we would make sure we would plan it out accordingly where we got all our trick-or-treating in, and then we got to George Webb's in time so we could knock the bottom out of about 3 or 4 burgers and fries. And so that's what we would focus on. But my sister, who again, much like Lisa, was a chocoholic and a candyaholic, I would go home, drop the bag of candy off, and then go to George Webb's. By the time I got home, my sister had sorted out and helped herself to at least half of my bag of candy.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not so big on chocolate candy, but I love candy. I don't necessarily like chocolate.
What's your favorite?
I like Jolly Ranchers. I like...
Jolly Ranchers so boring, though. My parents and grandparents used to have Jolly Ranchers. You got to be more like...
I'm more of a snack guy, but Jolly Ranchers are good. What else is good?
I think Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are amazing.
Those are fantastic.
And that's chocolate for you.
You're right. But I'm just not big on chocolate. I'm just not big on...
Skittles and Starbursts are good.
Skittles are legit. Starburst is legit for sure.
So
I got made fun of for mentioning Now and Laters, but I actually will still buy Now and Laters. I usually get it from
Now
my
and
liquor
Laters
store.
When we grew up were a big thing. They were awesome.
Yeah. It was very common at Halloween too.
Yeah.
So
you get the mini packs.
Yep.
The packs are like 3.
Yep.
Speaking of Skittles too, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Marshawn Lynch did a kids camp, and we all know that he's kind of out there in terms of when he played and all that. Marshawn Lynch kids camp should not be associated with one or another anymore. He did a kids camp in which he did the Oklahoma drill, and if you don't know what the Oklahoma drill, it's one-on-one, and you got to tackle, and you know who's the tougher of the two.
Yeah.
In which none of the kids wore equipment. He did an Oklahoma drill without any of the kids wearing helmets, pads, or otherwise. Then he paired the smallest girl with about an 11-year-old, 300-pound boy and had them go one-on-one.
Really?
So a mom comes rushing from the sidelines onto the field and like, are you kidding me? And she was pissed. So then she goes to leave and she's like grabbing her kids. She took the shirt, the camp shirt, threw it at his feet. He basically told the kids, too, that didn't want to participate in the drill, he cussed at them and told them to get the F out if they didn't either want to do the drill or go run laps when they didn't want to do the drill. And that's when the mom got upset and started leaving. He goes and runs after, and you can find all this on TMZ. He gets to her, and he wants to, like, have a discussion with her. Breaking more HR rules, he first goes, you got a man? And she's like, why do you need to know that? He goes, because I'd rather talk to a guy that understands. I need to talk to the man. And then he's like, oh, give me a second. Man, I got to catch my breath. That was, and then proceeds to cuss more and talk to her. And the mothers are filming all this. And he goes, hey, yo, if you're going to film that, get over here and get in the middle of this so you can get all of this the right way. But he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just saying, you know, if you got
beast mode.
And then he's like literally sticking to his guns of saying, if you don't want to do this drill without pads, then get the F out. He grabs the PA mic when he's done and basically tells any of the other parents, if you got a problem, go get your kid now because this is the way we're going
to
do things.
Here's another quote. When they on this field, they belong to me. But as soon as I'm done, you can have them back and you can do what you're going to do. That's a quote from Lynch.
He's dropping F-bombs to the parents, to the kids, on the microphone, and it's like, okay.
I just want to see this kid level this girl. I'm just dying to see. Like, does he like level?
You see them go at each other, but it's so far away, it's hard to see.
So
like,
she holds her own, or
but
what
you can hear the two guys who are filming it going, "Oh no, he's not. He's actually going to put the small girl against the 300-pound 11-year-old boy. No, he's not. Yes, he did.
That is insane.
And that's what Beast Mode Camp is all about for your children. That's why parents were smart to go to that camp, not just drop off their kids. Because when they got them back, they might have like welts on their forehead and like walk funny and broken bones. That's a Marshawn Lynch camp for you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just way too young to do that. Oh, here goes Lynch again. I'm trying to find it, but I didn't see anything where...
Can you imagine if someone got hurt and he had to get the cart and drive it around like he did at Cal when he had to drive him off the field? It's just a disaster waiting to happen.
So funny.
I'm not dropping my kid off at a Marshawn Lynch camp and feeling good about it.
So funny.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. And,
thanks.
Good show. It was
looking forward
fun
to have Barry Laminack back.
Yeah, Laminack by satellite tomorrow.
Yes,
we'll be
sir
back. Aaron, we appreciate you as well. And, of course, all you suspects
check
who
out
joined
the podcast.
Show.
Mario Ellie was on the show.
Yep, check out the Mario Ellie stuff. Hopefully we'll maybe even put that up on the social media at some point, too. But that was good stuff. So, for Nick and for Aaron, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great evening. And the Blitz is next, everybody, right here on ESPN 97.5.
They sniff their own parts or not.
Yeah, boy. ESPN 97.5.